In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Lord, we are so grateful for the privilege of your indwelling spirit. Father, we say thank you. We say thank you. You are welcome in our midst. Change us. Transform us. Elevate us. Promote us. As we behold your glory, rekete bonde rekete badia kata, ipete rekete shakata. Sweet Spirit of God, we are so grateful. We are so grateful. You are most welcome. Rekete rekete ya, rekete bonde rekete bonde rekete ya, rekete bonde rekete bonde rekete shakata. Thank you, Father. 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 Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. And so, Lord, we sing. Do wonders in our midst tonight. To you be all the glory, to you be all the praise. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. I want you to put your hands together for this great Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, we celebrate you. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor it's good to have you here. Tell him or her you look lovely. Put your hands together for yourselves as you take your seats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First and foremost, let me extend our apologies to all of you who are in the second and the third overflows. God will honor your sacrifice. In the overflow, praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for them. Thank you for valuing your destiny enough to withstand the rigors and the elements of the weather. Hallelujah. On behalf of Apostle, let me welcome each and every person to this Friday's meeting. And for all of you who are following us online via our social media channels, Koinonia Radio, you're most welcome. Let's put our hands together for our online family. Over 45 countries listening. The same power of God, the same presence here is effective where you are in the name of Jesus. Apostle had to travel for some engagements, but I know his heart is here, and I know that the essence, the access, the portal that has been made available in this place, and the very prophetic and apostolic mantle that the God we serve has given his servant, Apostle Joshua Selman, is going to find full expression in this place, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you were thoroughly blessed by last week's teaching? I don't know about you, but ever since I've just been going in the effort. It's as if I fell in love with the Holy Spirit again. Who did that happen to? Who did that happen to? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll be taking a break from the series, The Holy Spirit, when Apostle comes back next week. Miracle service and subsequently the teachings on the Holy Spirit will continue. But very quickly, I want us to open to the book of James chapter 4 verse 13. Media, you will really help me with scripture today. As the rains started to pour, there was something God whispered in my heart that for those of you who are farmers or agricultural investors or those of you who farmed before God brought you to this packaged level, because I know some of us farmed with our bare hands, but God has, some people are nodding, God has elevated you. Maybe it's now mechanized farming you do. But for those of you who farm and all of that, you'll agree with me that inasmuch as a farmer, you have the seed, you have the fertilizer, you have all the farm implements and everything you require to commence the farming season, there is something that is beyond your control and your influence. For the sum total of your efforts and your activity to yield fruit. What is that thing? What is it? Rain. And one of the many things Apostle has taught us is that the earth has symbolisms of spiritual realities. Agreed? And how that, regardless of how prepared you are, the earth needs the heavens to release something. Yes or no? Yes, there is irrigation farming. Yes, there is technology. But we all know that until the rains start to fall, you are handicapped regardless of your preparation. Is it not arrogance for human beings to believe that because they have the seed, because they have the soil, because they have all the inputs that are necessary for farming, is it not sheer arrogance to assume that without something leaving the heavenlies to land on us, we can have a harvest? And right now, farmers are rejoicing, right? They've been counting the rains. And God reminded me that these things are to remind us of how He created this earth to function. Hallelujah. And so today we'll be exploring the spirituality of success. We'll be exploring the spirituality of success. Because there's something Apostle always says, that life is what? I can't hear you. Life is what? Spiritual. James chapter 4 verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and do what? And sell. And what next? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow or in a year's time, I will get married. Today or tomorrow, or for some of you who were called for your NYSC, next week, yes or no? Am I right? I will go to camp. I will have children. I will go for my master's. I will buy my first car. I will start my ministry. or whatever God has put in my hand to do. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. It is consistent with the character, the personality of human beings to seek gain, to seek increase, to seek growth. Yes or no? Once a baby is born, the first thing they do, they beat the baby. Why? He must what? Cry. Has he ever cried before? To the best of our knowledge, no. But it is consistent with the character of man to always aspire to do more, to be more. Yes or no? So right from when you are born, expectation is placed on you. Expectation is placed on you. You start school. Immediately you start school. After the first term, after the second term, your parents ask for your what? Report. Some people used to hide their report cards. There was a story that my wife once told me of a certain person who used to hide report cards and keep saying that they didn't give until one day the parent decided to go to the school and demand. So it is consistent with the character of man to want increase, to want growth. If you are here and you are not aspirational, there's a problem. Isn't there? Who wants to be in this exact same level next year? No matter how sweet the level is, will you want to stay there? No. So, it is in the character of man to aspire, to achieve, to desire, to covet increase. And it is consistent with the very personality of God. Hallelujah. It's consistent with the very personality of God to aspire. And I say this because for some of us, we feel guilty about our aspirations. Based on our background, based on how we were raised, certain levels of mental conditioning has gotten us to a place where we are reluctant to admit our desire to increase. Yes or no? There's a saying, Apostle says, it has blessed my life so much. We shall all be. Okay, let me not speak for everybody. Myself, my wife, and those who are close to me shall all be. Because some people are behaving as if they don't want that greatness. We shall all be. And we shall all know ourselves. If you have a challenge in your capacity to dream big dreams, there's a problem. If you have gotten to that place where life has so battered you, you have been so disappointed, your expectations have been so cut short that you are losing the capacity to desire greatness, there's a problem. Because concerning Jesus, he said of the increase of his government, there shall be what? So, as far as Jesus is concerned, there is no end to increase. Yes or no? My wife and I were talking the other day, no, today, and we were saying that we saw some kids, you know, some of these Almajiris hanging around. And it pained me. And I was like, why didn't God do it in such a way that if a man is irresponsible, he will lack the ability to bear children? Wouldn't that have been a very good thing? That if you are an irresponsible man, God will somehow make it impossible for you to give birth. That would be fantastic. Some of us will not have been born. Let me keep quiet. Stop that. And my wife and I were talking, and we're like, but why is it that, you know, people who can't give birth, who can't take care of children, just give birth? But then God reminded me that every human being was supposed to be a host of a possibility in God. So there needs to be an infinitude of human beings for there to be a revelation of an infinite God. It's not his fault that people do not align. Do you understand? So if you have lost your capacity to dream big dreams, there's a problem. And I'm here today to bring a word of consolation to all those who, for whatever reason, have lost their ability to dream big dreams. Let your only limitation be a limitation or a constraint that God himself places on you for a time and for a season. If God has not stopped you, don't let anything stop you. Amen. It has always been in the character of mankind to aspire to do great things. Let's read on James chapter 4 verse 13. God himself put that possibility in man. Genesis 1 verse 28. Speaking to man, God said, be, multiply, subdue the earth, replenish it, have dominion. So it's consistent. In fact, I call that verse the first commandment. You know, they taught us about the 10 commandments. I call it the first commandment. I'm sure if they had told us the first commandment before they told us the 10 commandments, we'll be encouraged. Yes or no? Before they say, don't lie, don't steal, don't they say, be fruitful. Say, ah, that's a good commandment. I would like to obey it. And then God speaking again in Genesis chapter 9 verse 2 to Noah. After he had cleansed the earth from the flood. Right? He says, so you don't think my agenda has changed. Right? Genesis 9 verse 1. He says, be fruitful. So he reminded Noah that that agenda has not changed. You see that now. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, what? And. Because the purposes of God never change. His plans may change, but his purpose never changes. You see that now. But, if you go back to James chapter 4, verse 14, we're going somewhere. The spirituality of success. Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year. Okay, verse 14. Whereas ye know not. Let's read it together. Stop. Again. The question I ask is, what do we not know? Because James is saying that for everybody who attempts to rise, attempts to build, attempts to prosper, attempts to be fruitful, he's saying, whereas ye know not. Apostle says it all the time that something you do not know is responsible for your current limitation. If you knew more, you would be more. If you knew more, you would be more. That's why I like this song that says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. It's a prayer. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. There are many things we don't know. We want to see you. Very quickly, sing that song like a prayer. What don't we know? We want to see you. Revelation, Lord. I want to see you. Amen. So he's saying every time you attempt to do something, there's a limitation of knowledge. There's a limitation of knowledge. And it's very important that we
identify knowledge gaps.
Psalm 82, verse 5.
It's very important that we identify knowledge gaps. Ignorance. Let's read it together, a popular verse in this place. Neither will they understand. What's the consequence of their lack of knowledge? They walk on in. Are they walking? But what are they walking in? Have you ever attempted to walk in a room that is dark? It's a frustrating experience. It can even be a dangerous experience if you are entering that room for the first time. You can collide on things. I remember those days when you enter ABU campus, those hostels. You know, sometimes the socket point, they will have removed the socket. And you enter at night and you just put your hand there, and guess what? You are holding a live wire. You just go to bed with like a few jolts of electricity as your dinner. So where there is darkness, you are at risk. So what don't we know? Because every time a person attempts to rise, James is saying here that, whereas ye know not. What don't we know? We don't know that any attempt to rise attracts the attention of the realm of the spirit. Every attempt for increase, every attempt for growth, every attempt for success, every attempt for progress attracts the attention of the realm of the spirit. Genesis chapter 11. Let's read verse 5 together. I've had people ask questions and say, why are things so hard? I tried to do one thing, it didn't work out. I tried to do another thing, it didn't work out. Why do bad things happen to good people? You know why? It's a drama that started playing out long before mankind was involved. Yes or no? And the Lord came down to see. So when men came together and say, today or tomorrow, we will get a job. The verse before that, this is the story of the Tower of Babel. Verse 4 says, and they said, go to, that same word, go, let us build a, and a, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's do something lofty. What does the next verse say? Verse 5, and the Lord came down to see. An attempt to rise attracts the attention of the realm of the spirit. It attracts the attention of God. Attracts the attention of your creator. He wants to come and see what exactly is this person trying to do. Amen. And it's very important that we realize this. You are not the first to attempt to rise. This life has stories. This life has stories. I was talking with someone the other day, and she started to narrate patterns of failure in her life, and tragedy after tragedy. And I said, go and ask your father. You see that now? And she went to ask, and she saw that those same challenges were the challenges of her father, and were the challenges of her father's mother. They are stories. Things that we do not know. Says the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. They wanted to build and make a name for themselves. The question I ask, is it wrong to make a name for yourself? Is it? Some people don't know what to say. Is it wrong to want to make a name for yourself? Let's read on. Verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them. He said nothing will be restrained, but did they end up being restrained? Did they end up being restrained? So what don't you know about this realm of the spirit, where it looks like you cannot be restrained? I see people rise. The other day I was talking and I said, I feel for this generation, this current generation. You know why? Social media has given every Tom, Dick and Harry a platform and a voice. Yes or no? In the days of our parents, before they hear you, it will be maybe Newsline or interview on the street. Abi, was it very easy for the whole world to hear a common man? But now, because of Facebook, because of Instagram, because of all these social media platforms, anybody can rise and say anything. Anybody can rise and attempt anything, right? But people don't realize that regardless of your confidence now, the devil is watching. You see people make all sorts of statements, all sorts of arrogant postulations. Do you realize that the realm of the spirit is focusing? And he's saying whatever they have planned to do, they can't be restrained. But they ended up not doing that thing. They ended up not achieving what they wanted to achieve. Next verse. Let us go down. Let us go down. And there confound their language. I say it again. Any attempt to rise will attract the attention of the realm of the spirit. The question is, when their attention is attracted, what will you do? One of Apostle's very powerful messages, Give Me This Mountain, where he explained the spirituality of success. You are not the first to try to build. You know why God came down to investigate? And we see that God decided to confound the plans and the purposes of these people. Let us build a city. So, whenever you attempt to rise, the realm of the spirit focuses on you. The realm of the spirit focuses on you. Now, let me say one of the reasons why I feel God paid attention to the activities of these people. Genesis chapter 4. Why was God interested in their attempt to build a city? Why was God interested in the attempt of the people of Babel to build a tower? Look at verse 16. And Cain, let's read it together. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Let's say it again. Went out from the presence of the Lord. Prior to this, Cain and God had had a conversation. Apostle spoke about it in the law of exemption. The mystery of exemption. And Cain was saying that anybody that attempts or sees me, anything will attempt to slay me. Yes or no? And God now placed on Cain a mark. Verse 15. He says, and the Lord set a mark on Cain. Yes or no? What was that mark supposed to do? To preserve Cain's life. Yes or no? So Cain had an input from divinity that preserved his life. That means anybody setting eyes on Cain by reason of that mark, they cannot overcome Cain. Yes or no? And immediately Cain got the mark. What did Cain do? What did Cain do? He went out from the presence of the Lord. Did God drive him? Did God drive him? Cain collected the mark and strolled out and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Next verse. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Let's say that together. And he... You are going too fast, Lydia. Take it back. Verse 16. Sorry, verse 17. Yes. All right. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city. Collected something that guaranteed him divine protection. Immediately he collected it. Guess what? He strolled out. Because the gifts, the calling of God are without repentance. He strolled out. He left the presence of God with the mark of God. And using that divine protection, what did he do? And called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And God is looking and God is watching and God is saying, these people have a tendency to attempt greatness using my resources outside of my presence. Is that not arrogance? Is that not arrogance? How many women here, how many ladies here will allow somebody to come into their kitchen and start cooking different things? And then when she finishes, she eats, no regard to you, and she walks away. How will you feel? How will you feel? And that's what many, many, many people are doing. It's my life. I will live it how I please. We are in the it's my life generation. People departing from the presence of the Lord in their quest for greatness. The question I am asking, is God unwilling to make you great? Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. Next verse. What? This is God speaking. Now please, I want to ask a question. Was Abraham interested in greatness? Was there any revelation that Abraham was interested in greatness before this? Abraham was minding his own, and God suddenly appears to him. What did God say? Let's read it together. And I will make of thee a great, and I will bless. Let's read that together. Question, does God have a problem making your name great? Why do we go outside of God to look for what God is willing to give us? Why do we go outside of God to look for what God is willing to give us? I'm saying this so that we can begin to vet our aspirations, vet our ambitions, because James is telling us that whereas ye know not. And Psalm 82 lets us know that because we do not know, we are walking in darkness. And because we are walking in darkness, the foundations of the earth are out of course. The very foundations of the earth are fighting us. What don't you know that is responsible for your current limitation? Are we getting blessed? So God knows that there are people with a tendency to use him and dump him. So when you wake up and you say, Lord, by this time next year, I must be married. By this time next month, I must be promoted. by this time next week I must have bought a car. That's not the real issue. The real issue is, do you want to use God and dump him? Because some ladies, the moment they get married, that's the last time God will ever see them, until they need to put to bed. Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. First month, second month, third month, everybody say, hey, congrats, congrats. Before you know it, they change it from congrats to how far now? How far? You are smiling with them. 9 months, 1 year, 2 years, it's no more funny. You now say, oh God. God say, ah, you are back? Yes or no? Oh God, let me pass jump. Oh God, let me pass jump. You sow seed. Apostles say covenant of sacrifice. You sow seed for your jump. Yes or no? And it works for you. Immediately you enter campus, people don't even know that you know Jesus. Yes or no? Some of you are here because jump results just came out. Admission is not sure. You don't miss Koinonia. You will never miss Koinonia because you know what you want from God. Use God and dump him. If you are guilty, say, Lord, I repent. Lord, I repent. And then the lady takes in, and then God doesn't see her again until the child, maybe 2 years, 3 years, the child is refusing to talk or refusing to walk. What will the lady do now? Oh God, God say, you are here again. Why must your life be a response to calamity? Can't you have a relationship with God that has nothing to do with calamity? You only know God as deliverer, deliverer, deliverer. Can't you know God as friend? You only know God as Jireh, provider, provider. Can't you know him as friend? He doesn't have a problem giving you these things. Because what Cain departed from the presence of the Lord to go and get, what the Tower of Babel, the people of Babel, attempted to build that God refused to give them, a man called Abraham was not even looking for it, and God gave it to him. I'm reminded of the story of the parable of talents. The servant that was given one talent. Remember what he said to the master? He said, I know you. You are a very hard man. You reap where you did not. The question I want to ask, the first guy that got 5, right? The second guy that got 2, why didn't they call the master a hard man? Their revelation of the master was different. You see, that's why some people are angry with you. We are serving the same God, but we are not serving the same Father. They are angry because your God is your Father, and he seems to be blessing you more than them. You know why? Somewhere in the back of their minds, they are offended at God. To them, God is a hard man. He wants to reap where he did not. This is the question. How can you say the master did not sow? They called the master to come and inherit a kingdom. Is life like that? The master came, gave you talents. Was he obliged to do so? Do you know why he gave them the talents? He was going to inherit a kingdom, and he wanted to know how to share territory in that kingdom. Is that not what was said? And he wanted to know how to apportion to each man territory in the new kingdom. Is that a hard man? Couldn't he go and inherit the kingdom, chop and clean out and never come back? Who will come and attack him? Will the servant come and attack him? that, oh God, you went to receive a kingdom. Oh, as he was going, he said, I'm going to receive a kingdom. I want to have a structure for apportioning territories in that new kingdom. You take 5 talents. You take 2 talents. You take 1. Is that a hard man? But somebody's heart was so bitter at the master. Say, you are a hard man. Some people are going to be repenting here because you've not said it with your mouth, but in your heart, you know you are offended at God. You said, Lord, you are a hard God. You are just wicked. Admission I've been begging you for. You are a wicked God. It's not that you are afraid. Because the apostle has said that Job, his wife told him, curse God and die. Apostle has said, what is that curse that if you curse God, you will die? So you are saying, let me not just say anything in case I mistakenly curse God and die. But in your heart of heart, you know. You know. You know. So what certain people were struggling for, God gave to Abraham. So James is saying that we want to build, want to go into a city and buy and sell and get gain. He's saying, whereas ye know not. An attempt to rise attracts the attention of the realm of the spirit. Firstly, we see it attracting the attention of God. Why? Because certain people have this habit of receiving of God and betraying God. And others have this mindset that God is a wicked God. So we have established that there is nothing that you desire that God is unwilling to give you. For crying out loud, he puts that tendency in you. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. So why will he be angry that you are attempting to obey his first commandment? Does it make sense? No. Say, Lord, I repent. Lord, I repent. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. If you can call it up for us, media. Ephesians chapter 3. To the intent, look at this, that now unto the principalities and what? Where might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Romans chapter 7 puts it like this. Sorry, chapter 8 says, creation eagerly awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. Eagerly awaits. You are saying, oh, I can't wait to rise. I can't wait to be a blessing to my generation. I can't wait to have a great name. God is telling you that creation has been waiting since. You are only just discovering it. There are certain dimensions of possibilities in the academic field that has been locked up, and God is looking for that person who will press and reveal that dimension, that possibility to the world. Is it in ministry? There are certain dimensions of creative miracles, of signs, of wonders, of miracles that the earth has not yet seen. And God is thinking, is it possible that Pastor Alpha will reveal this possibility in me to humanity? As we were praying, as we were worshiping at the start of the meeting, God opened my eyes and I saw something extremely beautiful. I can't really describe it. It was like a city. But that city had 12 foundations. It was so beautiful. Like a castle. And there was water coming out. And that water was making the whole earth flourish. And God was, the city was turning. And at one corner there was such perfection of architecture. And I was like, Lord, what is this? And God was telling me, this is the church. And every now and then it will turn and there will be a revelation of certain levels of architectural beauty, and water was coming out of that structure and flooding the whole earth. And I was like, Lord, what is this? And God was telling me that the Spirit of God is fine-tuning and dressing and adorning the bride of God, so that at a point in time, the Spirit and the bride can say, come. The same way Esther was prepared by the eunuch of the king, so that by the time she was dressed up, she was to the exact specifications that would please the king. And God was saying that there are certain dimensions of his operations and his possibilities that he wants to reveal in us. If he reveals it in us, there is no way we will not make a great name for him and for ourselves. But certain people do not understand the protocols of this arrangement. Believe you, if you are in the body of Christ, if you are a member of this superior strategy called the body of Christ, you are entitled to a display of a dimension of the manifold wisdom of God. To principalities and to powers. To creation. But there is a protocol for it. There is a way to achieve it. James says, whereas ye know not. Hallelujah. So it's not just God whose attention is drawn. It has been revealed now that who else has their attention drawn? Principalities and what? You know, they always say your village people are watching you. It's not your village people are the smallest people watching you. Principalities and powers are watching. If it's your village people, that one is okay. Is anybody in your village a principality? Before you say yes, think deeply. Principalities and powers. So, whereas ye know not that principalities, powers, it attracts the attention of Satan, principalities and powers. Job chapter 1. Let's read from verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Who knows? Right now, God can be looking and he's saying, Satan, have you considered a Jimmy? Some people don't want me to use their name. Who wants Satan to consider his matter? Please tell me. Of course I want Satan to consider. Of course, what do you mean? He should consider. Some people are afraid to say it. Let's not trouble. Satan, they were in the main stage. I want to ask a question. Who is first watching you? Who is first watching you? That's why we started with the keeper of Israel. The keeper of Israel neither sleeps. If I'm watching my daughter here, does it matter who else is watching her? Does it? Let Satan consider my matter. Because, next verse, that Satan is considering your matter is given. He is. Except you don't want to be great. Who wants to be great here? So, the Bible says that immediately that Moses was born, the spirit of Satan in Pharaoh started to be agitated. Yes or no? Same thing for Jesus. The stars and the constellation signify that greatness is present here. Yes or no? And the three wise men came. Yes or no? So I say, who wants to be great here? Raise your hands. Okay. Satan is already considering your matter. Abi? Who wants Satan to consider his matter here? Come on! I do. What did Satan say? He says, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" Meaning Satan, the thing was paining Satan. So why are you telling me to consider him? I have considered him. I have. We both know that I always consider people when they try to rise. He's saying, "Does Job fear God or not?" Next verse. "Has not thou made an hedge about me?" Let Satan consider. Just let that hedge be there. He's allowed to consider. Let me shock you. In the Garden of Eden, he was allowed to consider. Yes or no? Had Eve sinned? Did she do anything bad? Was Satan not considering her matter? Satan is allowed to consider. It has never been a challenge. So next time someone says, to your village people and your kids, tell them it's normal. I'm destined for greatness. If you want to clap, clap. I'm saying this because some people will be getting married. They'll be hiding their invitation card. Is that gospel? Does that sound like good news? You are marrying, you are hiding it. Don't let the evil people see it. They have seen it. They have seen it. It's not human beings, they are spirits. They have seen it. I remember when my wife was pregnant. Someone said you're supposed to button up the whole tummy so that the evil people will not see. I said, if the pregnant woman is bathing, the evil people, can't they see? Or are you going to bath with your clothes? Let's put small common sense in these things. You are getting married, you are hiding it. Not because of any reason, it's fear. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to set us free, that we will serve the Lord without fear. Fear is not permitted in your life. I remember when I live my life on Facebook. I'm like that because of the nature of my work, right? And I put the photo of my daughter, my first child, online because I was so happy. I'm finally a father, right? And somebody called me. And I said, people are not happy, oh. That photo of your daughter, they can carry it and they can use it. Now, guess what? They actually did. They actually did. When she came to spend holidays in my father-in-law's house, that's Professor Marie, and she was sleeping at night, and that earlier that day, someone came from their village to come and visit them and took a photo of Seba with her camera phone. And at night, 12:30 exact, she just woke up and started screaming. Happened the first night. Happened the second night. And for those of you who know, Prof is a man of prayer. I mean, literally. He has these football boots. When he's going to pray, he used to wear football boots to go and pray. Please don't tell him I told you, so that when next. I'm serious. He really is a man of prayer. He has football boots. He will be praying, and that's what he's wearing. By the second, the third night, he was angry. He just went and carried her. He said, "This is your grandfather's house. Nobody will trouble you." And she slept. She slept straight. Let them take the photo, so that at least they will know those they can Bluetooth, and they will move on to others. Have you considered my servant Job? Satan said you placed the hedge around him. I pray that will be Satan's testimony concerning you. I pray that will be Satan's testimony concerning you. That one day Satan will just look and be tired and be weary. The same way he's tired of Koinonia. The same way next week miracle service, he's going to be tired again. On top of your matter, Satan will give up. Concerning your breakthrough, Satan will be frustrated. The hedge of God around you is solid, and it will remain so in Jesus' name. Amen. Satan had to confess, there's a hedge. There's a hedge. There's a hedge. Let me tell you, Satan will always attempt to destroy divine success or to exchange it. This is where you have to be careful. Mark chapter 8, from verse 36 and 37. Whenever a man attempts to rise, it guarantees the attention of the realm of the spirit. Satan will be on the lookout. And if Satan cannot stop you, he switches his strategy. He attempts to exchange. For what shall it profit a man if he shall do what? And what will now happen? What's the next thing? Give in exchange for his soul. So that means if Satan looks at you and discerns that this guy is on a path to greatness by reason of constellation and astrological divination, he can determine that this is greatness. What will he attempt to do? Switch. Let's look at the book of Luke, chapter 4, 5 to 8. An attempt to rise will attract the attention of the realm of the spirit. Look at this here. This is Jesus himself. And the devil taking him up into an high mountain. That means the devil has the capacity to raise men up. Yes or no? Yes or no? Which is why in your quest for success, be careful. Joshua 1 verse 8. God speaking to Joshua. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You will meditate on it day and night, and be careful to do, observe all that is written therein. He now says, then shall you make your way prosperous, and you shall have what? That means there is bad success. Be careful in your quest for success. There is bad success. Give us Luke chapter 4. He said, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Interesting. Because any attempt to rise inevitably is an attempt to gain mastery and influence in a particular kingdom. Yes or no? Remember Apostle's message, give me this mountain. He spoke of the seven mountains, right? He spoke of the mountain of family life. He spoke of the mountain of media and entertainment. He spoke of the mountain of religion. He spoke of the mountain of business. He spoke of the mountain of politics and governance. Right? I can't really remember some of the others. But every attempt to rise is an attempt to gain influence and be a king in that kingdom, that domain. Yes or no? So Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms. All the kingdoms. You want to go into ministry. You want to have notable signs and wonders. You want to impact your world for God. Satan showed that kingdom. You want to go into media and entertainment. You want to rise. Satan showed that kingdom. You want to go into business, commerce, trade. You want to be at the echelons of entrepreneurship and capitalism. Satan showed Jesus that kingdom. You want to be a teacher. You want to set up orphanages. You want to have hospitals. You want to own banks. Satan showed all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Next verse. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you. It takes power to take over kingdoms. He's saying, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Look at this. Look at this. He showed Jesus. He said, Jesus, you came to take ownership of all the kingdoms. I don't have a problem. You see that now? I don't have a problem with you having all these kingdoms. What's the next thing he said? He said, only bow down and worship me. You see why our quest to rise must first be hinged on God. It pains my heart when I see those who we went to school with close to a decade ago and seeing them rising, but it's so obvious they are rising without God. We're not called to judge, but you can know when a person has traded success for God. It's so painful. And you see, people think Satan will just appear to you. You know the way they do in some of these movies, with a pitchfork and two horns, and say, Hey Jimmy, you want to take over entrepreneurship? All right, bow to me. No. Number one, some of you, if he shows up like that, you will faint and die from there. He does it through compromising. 1, 2, 3, you compromise, you rise. You compromise at that next level, you are promoted. You compromise at the upper level, you are promoted. All of a sudden, you compromise to win SUG elections because God has called you into politics. You gave bribe, you did a few things. You compromise to become local government chairman. You compromise to become senator. All of a sudden, you just see yourself planning for the next election. You are in a forest with a herbalist and a white wrapper. And you say, how did I get there? Compromise. Compromise. Make a stand for what you believe in. Satan pays attention, and if he notices that greatness is going to come, he will attempt to intercept it and switch it. You will succeed. You will gain the whole world. Believe you me, you will gain it. But you will exchange your soul for it. And Jesus is asking, he said, what is really worth your soul? You know why Jesus is asking that question? He paid for your soul with his blood. He looked for something that was equal to your life. John 3 verse 16, the popular verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So Jesus is looking and saying, what exactly do you want to give in exchange for your soul? Because I gave my life for your soul. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I'm not someone to castigate. But recently I was looking at a very popular reality TV show. And it was on all the social media timelines and feeds and everything. And I was quite shocked because these people, look at what they were exchanging their soul for. 25 million naira. Shame! Jesus paid for you with his blood. So next time you want to make that compromise, ask yourself, is it worth it? Can I value myself the way Jesus valued me? To the point that he paid with his very blood. If you don't value yourself, value the blood that was shed for you. So Satan will switch. And this is the thing about Satan. He doesn't tell you that it is only the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and addeth no. That's the part he will keep quiet. He will tell you, he will give you success. He won't tell you the other additions to that success. Anything God won't give me, I don't want. Say it after me. Let's quickly take our time and pray and say, Lord, anything you will not give me, I do not want it. If you can't give me, I don't want it. If I have to leave you to get it, I don't want it. Pray it. If you won't give me, I don't want it, Lord. Is it fame? Is it money? Is it influence? Is it a husband? Is it a wife? Is it a child? Is it promotion? Is it a visa? If you won't give me, I don't want it. It's not worth it. Hallelujah. Do not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. A lecturer tells you that if you don't sleep with him, you will not graduate. Don't graduate. What did I say? The three Hebrew boys, they said, we know that God will deliver us. But even if he does not deliver us, we will not bow. We need a generation of Christians who value what God has given them. What is a visa? What is a job? What is a Rolls Royce? What is presidency? What is promotion? Will you take it to the grave? The devil will never tell you what he will add to that thing. Sorrow upon sorrow. Sorrow upon sorrow. Oh Lord, I'm approaching 38. If you don't give me a husband, I'm going to marry the next person that comes. Marry him. The way we threaten God, do you know there are 7 billion human beings on earth? You are threatening a man that has 7 billion extra things of you. Can you imagine that kind of threat? I have 7 billion shoes. One shoe says, I will not let you wear me. Be going. Is it by force? Be careful where you are threatening God, though. If God threatens you back, you beg him. Can you look at God and say, Lord, even if I am never great, give me you. I love that song. Everything else must wait. Give me you.
I hope I'm not today.
Lord, give me you.
Lord.
A very tragic passage of scripture. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I feel God really wants us to pray this thing. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, saying, verse 1. Genesis 15, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. Tell somebody, say, fear not. Fear not. My sister, you are not married yet. Fear not. My brother, you are not established yet. Fear not. Look at what God is saying. I am your shield. I am your shield. I'm not an irresponsible God. I'm your shield. Oh God, I've not gotten admission. Fear not, I am your shield. Oh God, I've not gotten a job. Fear not, I am your shield. Oh God, I've been trusting you for a healing. I am your shield. If the Lord is your refuge, who can you be afraid of? Don't let anybody threaten you. Don't let Satan shortcut your success. Look at what he says. I am your shield. As if that is not enough. as if it's not enough that God is my shield. He says, and your, you know, that's King James English. Your extra large, your overloaded, your overflowing reward. Oh God, I need a job. God is saying, you have me. Oh God, I need a wife. You have me. Oh God, I need a child. You have me. Oh God, I need increase in my ministry. You have me. Oh God, I need admission. You have me. Oh God, I need a healing. You have me. Now, Abraham, let's look at his response in verse 2. I call it a tragedy. And Abraham said, let's read it together. Lord God, what will you give me? Pause. God just came to him in a vision. And God said, guess what, Abraham? Pastor Alpha. God shows up in a vision and says, Pastor Alpha, this is me, oh. As from today, I'm your reward. He now say, God, which anointing will you give me? Abi? Bradenga, God shows up in a vision, encounter upon encounter, yes or no? And then he says, guess what, oh? I'm your shield, oh, and I'm your reward. What will you ask him? Should there even be a response? Jubilation galore, yes or no? Abraham said, God, leave matter. No be today, we don't come koinonia, leave story. Now let us reason. What are you giving me? Seeing that I go. So he started to say, God, you are not seeing that I'm childless, Abi. All these things, you can't see that I'm childless. It's only me that is seeing that I'm childless. I'm sure the angels in the heavens can say, Jesus. The angels in the heavens can say, Jesus. See, I go childless. This, it was just like to say, what are we? We are talking about real issues. You are saying you are giving me you. And because Abraham did not circumcise his heart, he ended up with Ishmael. And we all know what Ishmael is doing to us now. Yes or no? Calm down. If you allow Satan to exchange your success, he will add sorrow to it too. You will get it. Say, this child that you want. Did he not get the child? They added sorrow. God still went ahead and played his own part. But that Ishmael, he lived with him. Tell your neighbor, say, be careful. Don't rush and carry Ishmael instead of Isaac. The brother that is coming works in Chevron. Bonny Island, to be precise. Some of you don't know what Bonny Island is. That's why you are not answering. The first day he came to see you, he pressed horn. Ping, ping, ping. Abi, as he just came down, the effulgence of his perfume took over the whole atmosphere. Your mother just looked at you and said, my daughter, I know, say one day you could make us proud. You bring one glass cup to give him juice. Your mother said, no, under my bed, there's one glass cup. Bring that one. The guy came in jeep. Your father came out and looked at him and said, hey, my brother, you are welcome. Abi? Say, my brother, you are welcome. Say, no, daddy, I'm a son. Say, no, my brother, you are welcome. Which flower did you come to pluck? You can pluck more than one. as you are just moving, God just ministers to you and says, this guy is not really born again. He's just pretending. He's a smart guy, man, that has rocked his life and still plans to rock his life. He wants to marry a good church girl that will not disturb him, so that as he's rocking his life, the girl will be praying for him. He doesn't want to marry a girl whose eye don't tear, so that as he's rocking life, you know, church girls have a way of long suffering, endurance, patience, and they are warning you. But you say time is not on your side, and he has money. He marries you. On your wedding day, he buys Jeep. You go to Dubai and Jamaica for honeymoon. And then, because he has won the election, there's no need to pretend again. Abi, you know how politicians before election and after election, they are not the same, even though they are the same. And then he shows you his true color. He beats you. You now call your mother. Your mother now says, at least you have a Jeep. You are laughing because it's not you they are beating. Some people are listening to this now and they are crying. He beats you, then he gives you tickets to go to Dubai. Then you see the photos of girls on his phone, and then you start crying inside your Jeep in Dubai. You now come and be advising other young ladies. They will say, yeah, Derricky, is he not just beating? You are laughing. The devil will switch it. He will switch it. Don't switch. If he tried it for Jesus, who told you he won't try it for you? Who told you he won't try it for you? Do you know that after this passage of scripture, God didn't talk to Abraham about his son again? God was so silent for close to a couple of decades. Because God looked and said, I gave you me. You went to get. And it was in the silence of God that Abraham gave birth to Ishmael. So sad. So sad. Don't disappoint God. God is saying, get me. Get me. Let's go back to James chapter 4, verse 14. James chapter 4, verse 14. So, tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Next verse. Whereas ye know not. But now we know. We now know that the realm of the spirit is attracted by our attempt to rise. He says, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. So we are going for knowledge. We want to know what happens when a man attempts to rise. I told you about Job, how that when he attracted the attention of Satan, God said that he had put a hedge. Satan said God had put a hedge around him. If you back it up some verses, it says that Job used to offer sacrifices continually. So Job's hedge was sponsored by a continuous offering of sacrifice. Now you know. Do you know what will ensure that you are protected? That building will rise. That project will rise. That marriage will succeed. That ministry will flourish. Jesus said, if a man is going to build a tower, the first thing he will do is sit down and count the cost. Am I thoroughly equipped? Thoroughly equipped. You are rushing to do ministry. Have you learned everything you need to? You are rushing to get married. Do you know how to cook very well? Have you practiced submission? Can you submit to a man the way you are currently? As a guy, you are rushing to get married. Have you attempted trying to pay school fees for another person? Or are you still struggling to pay your own? As a guy, you plan to enter a relationship. Every time you see ladies, you never bother to ask, have you eaten? And if they say they have not eaten, you don't care. You think when you enter a relationship, if the lady that you are with says she has not eaten, you will not care. You say, me too, I have not eaten. Oh, God will help us. Sisters, do you like that kind of guy? Sit down, count the cost. Go for knowledge. Go for knowledge. Go for knowledge. I remember when God spoke to me back in those days on campus. He said, hey Jimmy, what will you do if you had all the money in the world? And I said, wow, is that even a possibility? And I started to go for knowledge. I discovered that there is a sphere of business called private banking and wealth management. God didn't tell me that. First training I did, it cost me $1,000. I was a copper. $1,000. Eventually, I couldn't finish paying the guy. It remained 30,000. I said, bros, I'm a copper. I don't have 30,000 again. All the other people there were sponsored by their bank. Bank MDs. Bank directors. I paid for it. I saved. Prior to that time, I had never used a phone more than 12,000 naira. But I was doing trainings. Another time, God gave me an instruction. I wanted to do a certification training. It cost 3 months of my salary. My 3 months salary for that training. Ah! Go for knowledge. Go for knowledge. Bishop David Oyedepo said that at the time when he wanted to start Covenant University, he studied all the top league, Ivy League universities. From Yale to Princeton to Oxford to Cambridge. He studied their modus operandi. At a point, he could tell you everything about those universities offhand. How would Covenant University be the best university? Now people are saying it's so expensive. The process the man used, the sacrifice of research, does it look cheap? Go for knowledge, spiritual insight. Job knew that if I offer sacrifices continually, the hedge will be placed around me. What do you know that guarantees your spiritual fortitude and fortification? You are so quick to say, oh God, why me? Why not you? You say, God, why me? God now asks, why not you? I say, but you love me. I love everybody. What is your sacrifice that distinguishes you? What is your insight that distinguishes you? I remember there was a season in our lives I can never forget when Apostle and I were roommate, flatmates with Jakes and Prophet Jangfa. For close to 2 years, they will tell you, Apostle will buy fuel in the gen and run the gen overnight for 2 years. All of us will be sleeping. Okay, well, let me speak for myself. Me, I will be sleeping. When God started to use him greatly, even me, I knew sacrifice is different from sacrifice. And that someone has labored and has opened doesn't mean you won't labor your own labor. It just means you labor from a higher plane. But you must labor. My brother gave a fantastic testimony, Pastor, sir. I'm sure that calligraphy, did it come to you by impartation? One of those calligraphy pens, how much is one? Extremely expensive. Thank you. The first time you bought it, was it nice? Was it easy? Are there other things you can buy? Who doesn't want to do guy? Who doesn't want to use the latest phone? Some of you are using the most expensive phone. Everything expensive on you is outside. Nothing expensive inside your head. Everything expensive is outside. Don't laugh. Everything expensive is outside. apart from your education in ABU, you have never done any other education outside of academic education. You now graduate and say there's no job. Your training is like every other person. So your opportunities are like the opportunities of every other person. Who has bought data here to download YouTube videos with regard to his calling and his assignments? I say it all the time. If I'm to calculate how much I have spent on internet, when this internet started with Starcoms, that big Apostle and I will be going around with that big Starcoms internet. The first modem I bought, you see this Wi-Fi modem that they sell 7.5, I bought it 32,000. 32,000 in 2007. I was serving in Sokoto. They didn't have friendship center in that place. I went to stay by the mast because I knew that whoever the engineers will come from time to time to service the mast, and I needed to buy that internet. I stayed there the day they came in their Hilux. I said, I want to buy MTN. This thing. The guy looked at me because I know 1 year of NYSC, I can't waste it. I need to use that time to build. Those times we'll be watching Spirit World, Cobus Van Rensburg. Knowledge is expensive. You go for it. I'd rather wear one shirt and one trouser and have 2 million naira worth of information inside my head. Go for knowledge. Pay the price. Some ladies here are saying they want to get married. You have never, for once, developed a relationship with a beautifully married woman. Jesus said something. He said, can the blind lead the blind? Yes. No, he said yes. They will just fall into the... He never said no. They will lead themselves into the... If everybody that is in your circle is on your level, there's a problem. If everybody in your circle is on your level, there's a problem. What are you doing to foster relationships with people ahead of you? What are you doing to foster relationships with people who have gone ahead? There are some ladies here, they have never seen the poo-poo of a small baby. They have never seen it. And they want to get married. You know, there's Pampers now. Those days, it's napkin. You will wash it. You carry a child for 30 minutes, you are tired. I say, oh Lord, give me a child. God, you just say, really? Why am I saying this? Go for knowledge. The next question, 14b. James 14b. It says, for what is your life? Talk to your neighbor. Say, what is your life? What is your life? Answer him. No, don't use James' answer. That's James' answer. What is your life? I was asking God. God was saying, why should you rise? What is your life? And I was like, Lord, what does this mean? And the Lord said to me, until you have a revelation of your life, you are not qualified to rise. John the Baptist said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's his life. Did he say, I'm the son of Zechariah, the high priest? If I ask you now to define yourself outside of your name, define yourself by your spiritual nomenclature, your identity in the realm of the spirit. Do you know? David Dam can say, I am the voice of one hailing Yahweh, opening the kingdoms of worship ministry. You see that now? What has God called you to do? What is your life? Why should you rise? What is your life? Your revelation of your life is tied to your revelation of Christ. Very quickly, we look at Matthew 16, 13 to 19. Matthew 16, 13 to 19. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Jesus is asking you, who do men say that I am? Next verse. See, some say John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Next question. But whom say ye that I am? What is your life? As we start out in our walk with God, it starts with a revelation of what men say about God to us. Yes or no? That's why many of us come to Koinonia. It starts with a revelation. Apostle begins to open us up. But a time T must come in your life when you must say by yourself who God is to you. Yes, it's good to be connected to the God of this commission. But the next question is, who do you say that I am? That's the question that we are asking. Who do you say that Jesus is? Next verse. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He was able to discern this Christ that he has been with. This is who he is. Next thing. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, Barukete banda bariagata, but my Father which is in heaven." Next verse. Verse 18. "And I say also unto thee," look at this, he called him Simon Bar-Jonah. Next thing, what did he call him? Thou art. Turn to your neighbor, say, what is your life? What encounter has furnished a revelation of your personality and your identity and your contribution? He says, upon this rock of revelation, I will build. We build by a revelation of our possibilities in God. Not the revelation of the course your mother sent you to school to read. Not the revelation of society to you. It's your revelation from a place of encounter that determines the efficacy of what you are building. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Could it be you've not had that child because you've not had an encounter that furnished the revelation of Christ, and Christ furnished the revelation of who you are to you? So you have been building in vain. So anywhere that Peter goes, Peter is reminded that the Christ gave me a revelation of my identity. I know my life. I am the voice of one crying XYZ. Oh Lord, I want to marry. What's the revelation of your marriage? What will your marriage contribute to the body of Christ? How will your marriage advance the cause of the kingdom? I want a child. Will your child be Samuel to Israel? Or will your child be just another child? It takes discernment. I want a job. I want to be a lecturer. What is the revelation of lecturing? Are you going to go there and use your office as a lecturer to transform lives and bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Then you can build. Why won't God sponsor an agenda that is in line with his own agenda? Oh Lord, I want a husband. That's what you want. What does God want? You want a husband. God wants a model of a godly home. So if you say, Lord, if you give me a husband, and I will prove to society and the world and the church that a godly home is possible, God says, that's right. Give her a husband. Oh God, I want a business so I can show people that you can love God and be rich. I want to be a Joseph of Arimathea. Remember when Jesus hung on the cross and then he died, And then his body was to be left there. Joseph of Arimathea stood up. He went to meet Pontius Pilate. He said, give me his body. I don't want his body to suffer shame. I have prepared a tomb never been used before. Peter denied Jesus. Yes or no? Joseph of Arimathea went to Pontius Pilate and said, I know him. Because he was rich for the kingdom. So, God, make me a billionaire. So that when someone is bullying the body of Christ in a place, I buy up the whole neighborhood and I give it to the church. God will say, that's right. That's right. Joseph of Arimathea. People who understand what their life is about. A tomb that had never been used. A tomb reserved for him. He walked up to Pontius Pilate. Think about that. So what you want to build, what is the contribution of that building to the building of the church? Could it be that's why you've not received answers? Because you have not yet known what your life is. What is your life? What is your life? We are going to be praying. We're going to be praying. There are certain people that God needs to correct. Their quest for success has taken them out of the presence of the Lord. Their quest for success has taken them out of the presence of the Lord. Their quest for success has taken them out of the presence of the Lord. Some people are going to cry and say, oh God, wherever my quest for success has taken me to, I come back to you today. Begin to pray. Wherever this quest for success, wherever this quest for achievement has taken me, I come back today, Lord. Some people need to retrace their steps. Some people need to retrace their steps. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. Rekete bonde beriakata. Duta tatata bariakata. Eh, pate, I can't hear you. Say, Lord, I'm coming back. Rekete bosha baria. Seto sabariakata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We come back. I'm coming back today, Lord. I'm coming back today, Lord. I want it in you. Rekete shabariakata. In Jesus' name. The second prayer, and when we start to pray this prayer, many people are going to feel the sheer power of God upon them. Some people need a revelation of their life's identity. The reason why you have not gotten the answers you want, you've been asking amiss. You have not been able to articulate it in such a way that God sees that it is not your agenda anymore, it is His agenda. We are going to ask for an encounter that bears the revelation of the Christ. And that revelation of Christ will reveal you to yourself. Are you ready to pray? You say, Father Lord, a revelation of Jesus that reveals me to me. Now in the name of Jesus, a revelation of my identity, who I am in you. A revelation of you that reveals me to me in the name of Jesus. A revelation of you that reveals my identity to me in the name of Jesus.
You are not just a wife. You are the wife of a great man. You are not just a mother. You are the mother of a man of God. You are not just a businessman. You are a financier of the kingdom. You are not just a lecturer. You are a pastor in that department. You are not just a first class student. You are an academic inspiration to those around you. Oh Samaria, oh Samaria, rekete banja banja, ustama, zeketa ka, rakata bele boja bele ge, rekete boja bele ge bele ge ba, rekete banja ge ba, eva to sama, rekete ge 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 boja, rekete boja bele ge ba, usamaria kaka. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. We are going to pray that prayer. And we are going to pray it expecting angelic and prophetic impartations. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? He's talking about the angels. That the angels have ministrations for you. Based on your inheritance in salvation, based on your identity in Christ and your contribution to the body of Christ, we are going to pray because the realm of the Spirit has been waiting for you to know who you are so that they can discharge to you your inheritance as a heir of salvation. We are going to lift up our mouths and we are going to say, Father, Father, I engage angelic resources for my inheritance. Now, in the name of Jesus, every spiritual force required to deliver to me my inheritance in salvation, the goals, the dreams, the ambitions, angels of God, are you not ministering spirits? Ipatesha, reketebosa, makosa, ebaria. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is ministering to me right now. There are certain things that you have been trusting God for. God needs you to raise it to Him again now in a recalibrated manner. Those dreams, those aspirations, those ambitions. Like Anna, you are going to say, Lord, you need a prophet. I need a son. Let there be an amalgamation of spiritual intention with my own intention. Are you ready now? I want you to think of everything you have ever trusted God for. And look at how it will be of benefit to the body of Christ. And say, Lord, you want this reality now. I need it now. Let it come now. In the name of Jesus, ask Him if it's a job. If it's a child, if it's admission, let Him know how it will advance His kingdom. If you need a house of your own, let Him know how it will advance His kingdom. If you need a husband of your own, let Him know how it will advance the kingdom. If you need a car, let Him know how it will advance His kingdom. If you need more anointing, let Him know. If you need peace in your home, if you need peace in your home, let Him know. The spirituality of success. The spirituality of success. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lift up your hands. Batose baria kata shata balakata. Rekete boje bele 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 ba. Rekete beja bara gada baye. Ye pondo bele 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 ba. Rakata boja ba. Rekete boja ba. Rakata kata kata. Repete se te ba. Repete se te ba. Father, in the name of Jesus, every nook and cranny of this place, let there be a release now. A release now of every single request that they have prayed to you. In the name of Jesus. I see a rekindling of gifting. For some people, your giftings have been silent because you have not been able to articulate how it will affect the kingdom. I'm talking of secular giftings now. What people call talents, hobbies. As it rested upon Bezalel, the spirit of wisdom for craftsmanship, angels of God, begin to mantle them now. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost. 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 You are going to feel like fire on your right hand. Like fire on your right hand. Everywhere. 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 Rumpet Ataya. Rumpet Ataya. Rumpet Ataya. Jesus. The second thing now is for relationships. I see people here with broken family relationships. Trusting God for either a husband, a wife, or a reconciled family. Because you are now negotiating with God. How that thing will advance the kingdom of God. Lift up your hands if you are trusting God for restored relationships, marital relationships, fruit of the womb. Reketebo shabaria katalata. Zetetebaria kata. I speak. According to the time of life. According to the time of life. Angels of God. Reketeshata. Restore those relationships now. In the name of Jesus. Specifically for the fruit of the womb. According to the time of life. All those trusting God in this place. According to the time of life. Receive now in the name of Jesus. Now we want to pray for liftings. Liftings and promotions. Liftings and promotions. Financial lifting and promotion. Jesus was speaking. He said, make friends with the mammon of unrighteousness. I call for unrighteous mammon. That mystery of provision. That mystery of financial increase. Samaria. As it has always been in this house. Let there be an overflow. Fourteen days from now, I speak this concerning the Josephs of Arimathea. All those people who have been elected by grace into the office of kingdom finance. Rekete baria katala katape into Paris. All earth, the profit of the earth is for the king. The profit of the earth is for the king. Earth, release your profit to them now. In the name of Jesus. This is the sign. Let all the children of Arimathea, let this man to rest upon you now. I comfort my tribe. Angels of God. I comfort my tribe. In the name of Jesus. Some people are trusting God for spiritual lifting. Lord, replace a demand on the prophetic and apostolic foundations of this ministry. Reketebo Shavaria, Isebe Shavaria, Rokete Shavaria, Elefale Katavia, Sotomele Kataya. Let there be a release of spiritual gifts in this place now, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Lord God, thank you. We give you all the praise, because we shall all be great. We shall all be great. Your promise to your servant, Apostle Joshua Selman, that he will not raise weak people. He will not raise beggarly people. We shall all be great. I invoke the God of the covenant of Apostle Joshua Selman. Let there be a release of greatness in this place. In the name of Jesus. The least of us will be a nation. The least of us will be a nation. And Lord God, we thank you for the privilege. It's always a privilege to be used by you. Mighty and everlasting Father, I thank you. You are the doer of these things. And I give you praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Put your hands together for Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, my success is spiritual. Don't try to figure it out. My success is spiritual. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Very quickly, you are in this place. You have not yet given Jesus Christ dominion over your life. You are in this place. You have never at any point seriously taken a decision for Jesus Christ. You can have your seat. I want all those who have not given their lives to Christ, very quickly run to the front as we lead you to Christ. Put your hands together for Jesus as they come. Don't let anybody stop you. Please make your way to the front. You want to tap into this dimension where God Himself, because you belong to Him, is responsible for your success. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ? Come very quickly to the front. Or you have made this decision, but somewhere along the line, you fell short. I want you to quickly come forward. You want to give your life to Christ in the overflow? Quickly come forward. Keep clapping. Let's encourage them as they come. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Anybody that wants to do that, come very quickly to the front. Please put your hands together for them as they come. It's a thing of joy. We celebrate you. Run, 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 run. Run, run, run. You should be proud. Every single person you see seated made this decision like you at some point in their lives. So I want to give an opportunity. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You want to make a decision for Jesus. Quickly come to the front and let's usher you into this kingdom of His dear Son. Very quickly, very quickly, very quickly. Let's keep clapping as they come. Let's encourage them as they make this decision for Jesus. Let's encourage them as they make this decision for Jesus. Look at me. Everything we have said today starts with this decision. So very quickly, I want you to lift your hands to God and say after me, say, Lord Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege of salvation. Thank you for dying on the cross of Calvary for me, for shedding your blood for my sins. Today, I confess with my mouth, believing in my heart, that you are Lord. I receive you into my life. I forsake and repent of every past life of sin. Right now, I confess I am washed clean by your blood. I receive your spirit and I receive eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so, Heavenly Father, we commit your children to your hands. This marks the beginning of a fresh and flourishing relationship with you. Spirit of God, mantle them. Let it be ever-increasing glory from now onwards. Satan the Lord, rebuke you. We separate you from satanic and evil covenants. We separate you from satanic and evil connections. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Just look behind you. You see that brother waving his hand? I want you to quickly follow him. He will take your details. He won't take any of your time.
Please celebrate them, celebrate them, celebrate them. Hallelujah.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaEternity Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/KoinoniaEni. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Eternity Network International, duplicating the corners of God's life on earth.